Oh, man.
Got a praise report I want to share. Miss Minnie in the white sweater and purple turtleneck, in case you don't know who she is, came and gave me a praise report before service. She, a while back, had cancer and had some surgery done and went back and had something biopsied and got the news this week that everything is clear and there is zero cancer in her body. So praise the Lord for that. Yes, that is wonderful. So God is still in the healing business, whether you want to believe it or not. God still makes things right. So we're so glad that Minnie is okay. So she was just beaming this morning as she, you know, come in, praise report. So it's awesome. All righty. Faith over fear. Isn't it good that we can have faith over fear?
Yes.
And we have to be very careful. The devil operates, as Rodney already said, in fear. I think Rodney said that, didn't you? Yeah. Devil operates in fear. God operates in peace. And if we're not careful, me and Melanie made the mistake of going to Walmart last night because we really did run out of toilet tissue, okay? We needed some. And speaking of that, I do want to say this, and I'm being serious. I cannot believe I'm saying this in church, but I want to be serious. If any of you truly are out, because people are really, I mean, they're out. I had to go to a convenience store and finally found some. People are out. If you are out, we have a supply here that we will be glad to give you guys 2 or 3 rolls if you need it. So if anybody needs it, really needs it, let me know. We bought a case last year, a whole case of toilet tissue for the church. So we have some to give out. There is no charge. We ask for a $10 donation per roll. I just playing, y'all. But yes. But if y'all need some, let me know. We do have plenty here that we can give a couple rolls out to get you guys by if you are out, because stores went to Walmart and Conover, and you could drive a Mack truck through that toilet tissue aisle. It was ridiculous. Water was $6 a case. Crazy. I told Melanie I'm fine drinking sink water, but she can't. She got to have bottled water. I don't mind drinking. I can drink sink water. That's, you know. So, but we have that if you need it, okay? So just let me know. It should be the same price. Yeah, it was $6 last night for a pack of water, for a 24-pack. I know. But if you need tissue, please do let me know. Don't be ashamed. If you need to pull me to the side, Pastor, we can have a code word, help. And I know what that means, help. Okay, be right back. There you go. So, faith over fear. We have seen our country change, and I'm not making light of that. The folks that text me, I understand why they're not coming. I told them I understand that, and we love you, and you know, we'll see you when you get back. But there has been quite a panic, hasn't there? And that's what fear does. It causes people to panic. And, you know, I was a little surprised, I think, when, you know, our president declared National Day of Prayer today, and then the governor says every church with 100 people or more needs to shut down. Okay. All righty. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, this is the time, as I was telling Ralph for service, this is the time that we stand on our faith, right? And we believe. We believe God. I mean, church, there's all, I was telling Melanie, there's all kinds of things we face. There's all kinds of giants in our life. You know, there's cancer scares. There's economic scares. You lose your job. There's all kinds of things that if we let that dictate how we live, we would accomplish nothing but live in fear. And so to me, this is no more than another Goliath that God's able to conquer, another Red Sea God's able to part, another lion's mouth God's able to shut. And so I choose faith over fear. It is not that I'm incompassionate and I don't care. It truly is I choose faith over fear, that this is the very time we should be together worshiping God, trusting God, serving God, and praying to God for our lives. So we're going to read out of Psalms 27, first of all. We'll read verse 1, then I got a couple points I want to make on verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I want us to think about this. And if you've done this, I'm not picking. I know people get freaked out. I know that. And I'll let you know, when I went to the gas station last night, I finally found some tissue at a gas station up near our house. And I only got one pack. And I told them, and there were several packs there. And I told the cashier, "I'm getting one pack." I said, "I'm saving some for other people." Says, "I'll be okay." I didn't go hoard every pack I found. I found one pack. And for those of you that hoarded a bunch of sanitizer, just realize other people got to wash their hands too. So you didn't let them do that. So good luck with that. I got the one pack, and I'm seeing the chaos at Walmart, and I'm seeing all the sporting events closed. I'm seeing everything closed. Schools now are closed for 2 weeks. Parents are being left with what I do with my kids. You know, we're seeing all of this, you know, hysteria going on in our nation over this. And, you know, I begin to think about who is bigger here. I mean, don't we sing songs as Christians every week about God? About how big He is? You know, here I am to worship. Here I am to worship my King, my God, my Lord, my Savior. You know, He sits on the top of the world and holds everything together. We learn as a kid, He holds the whole world in His hands. God's got it all. He controls it all. He created it all. And surely He can keep me from harm. I'm His child. And once again, if we were to put the metal to the mat, so to speak, Ralph said this before service, and I agree with him. And I'm not being a pessimistic or a negative person, but I agree. I trust my life in the hands of God. And what is to come is to come. So I still trust God no matter what comes. I'm going to believe. There are good saints of God that get cancer. That seems very unfair. And they've got a choice. Do I give in to the fear and give up? Or do I stand on the faith of my God and still praise Him in my storm? Still praise Him when I'm bound in sickness? Still praise Him when I can't hardly walk or get out of a chair? I'm still going to praise my God. Because my God is bigger, my God is greater. Greater is He, the Bible says, that's in me than that which is in the world. Virus, disease, sickness, poverty, economic collapse, none of that matters when you put it against my God. My God is able to provide. And now there's a scare going around. You see on Facebook, they might shut down grocery stores and all this. You want to create a panic? Let somebody not be able to get no loaf bread. Oh, my Lord. See what happens there. Now, we don't have much food here, church. We got a few snacks for kids. We can keep y'all afloat for a couple days. But that's about all we got here, okay? But I told Melly, you know what? There's such a hysteria being created. I'm going to trust my God in feast or in famine, in good or in bad, in sickness and in wellness, in defeat and in victory, in light and in darkness. I'm going to trust God. That's who I have to trust. I mean, He's my Father. He is my Savior, and He is my King. Let me give a few points on these three, on the first one. Look at this. David uses three things here: light, salvation, strength. Light. Light expels the darkness of our fears. Most of us, I would say, let's just be honest, this is a Living Word crowd, okay? We're just pretty open here. If you're able to be honest, how many of you are a little bit afraid of the dark? Anybody here afraid of the dark? Okay, he's honest. All right. We got some folks afraid of the dark. So when it's dark, what was that? So April, when it's dark, what do you do to fix that? Turn on a light. God is our light that expels our darkness. Darkness in darkness hides fear and danger and torment. You know, we have tormenting dreams at night. We see things on the wall at night. You know, I ran into our bathroom door the other night, full-fledged, because I didn't know it was closed. I woke Melanie up, about broke my toe, I'm walking, boom! What in the world? I didn't know the door was closed. You know why? I couldn't see. Why couldn't I see? Oh, I don't know. It was dark. Darkness, there's dangers, and there's fears, and there's traps that are set in darkness. The light of God expels those fears, right? The light shines the way to let us know it's okay. You may not be able to see what's in front of you, but I can. Trust me, and I'll guide you through this dark time of your life, through this dark season. I've got you. Light is a good thing. When the sun rises, you sit in your bedroom windows. It wakes some of you up in the mornings, right? The light begins to come in, and you see it through the windows. It's been dark all night long, and the light wakes you up, and you see that. Light illuminates. Light expels the darkness. Light expels our fears. He goes on to talk about salvation. Look at what salvation does. It guarantees us victory over all adversaries. He says He's my salvation. If I'm saved from something, I'm guaranteed deliverance. Maybe not the way that I want, but I'm guaranteed in the end a deliverance. No matter what comes against my life, no matter what tries to take me out, and if that thing does take me out, I'm still guaranteed the salvation of the Lord. I'm not anymore in this place. I'm forever changed in His place. So I can take peace in that. He's my light, so I don't have to fear. He's my salvation, so I know that I win. And look at the third thing. David says he's our strength. Strength assures us victory over all assaults. I can stand in the middle of the attack and be strong. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, when you've done all, when you put on the armor of God and you've done all you can do, stand. Just stand and watch what God will do. When Moses got to the Red Sea and he was trapped between Pharaoh's army on the backside and his body water on the front side, and he had 2 million people to try to deliver, and he had nowhere to go, and everybody's whining and murmuring, what do we do? We're trapped. We're going to die. Moses said something so profound. He didn't say, let me call my pastor. Let me call the priest. Let me text GPS. Alternate routes, please. He didn't have any of that. He did one thing because he only had one thing to depend on, his God. In the midst of that, he told the people of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of our God. And when he raised his staff, God took over and blew the Red Sea in half and gave them a way of escape. When we've done all, we stand. And strength gives us that, to be able to stand. Strength helps us to overcome every attack, realizing, God, I can't do it on my own, but through your power, I can stand. I can keep going forward. I can keep pressing. I can keep moving. I can keep believing no matter what all the news networks tell me I can and can't do, what I am and am not going to get. God, you're in control. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over all things, and your voice is the one that I trust more than anybody else. Faith over fear. And this is what we should be as God's people, trusting him. Whenever the death angel came in the days of Egypt and God told Moses to slaughter the animals and do all the stuff, you know, all the ceremonial stuff, and then put blood on the doorpost. Our clean ladies would have hated that. Blood on the doorpost. And then when the death angel comes by, as long as the blood's on the door, it has to pass by. And it did. Can you imagine hearing the screams of mothers throughout the country as their children were dying? And as the death angel came by where the blood was, it could not go. It wasn't the natural blood, of course, keeping the death angel away. It was the act of faith that was keeping the death angel away. It was those people locked in their little rooms as that death angel came by, trusting God in the middle of their plague as it came by. And the Bible talks about not one of them were touched, not one of them were killed, because they were covered by the covenant of God. We're still under his covering. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. And we need to act like we are and have some sense about it and walk like we're children of God. I am the child of the Most High, and I will not give in or surrender to the fear of the enemy. Man, when we're afraid, we make dumb decisions, right? We buy 50 rolls of toilet tissue. We don't need that. If you need that, you got more problems than what the corona does. I mean, my Lord. You know, and people are just in a panic. Let the peace speaker speak to you and calm you, and it's going to be okay. Mindy texted me the day that apparently at our memorial, I'm not allowed to go visit anybody. They cut out everybody. Even clergy can't go. Only immediate family can be in the room with the loved one. So, anyway, I might have to sneak in incognito. I'm their uncle. Thanks. Shut the door. I'm like, man, really? Yeah. And that's a little more understandable with the age and the health issues. You know, I get that. And church, I know we use sense. I mean, you know, we use sense. We take care of ourselves. We do what we're supposed to do. But we can't allow our lives to be dictated by fear and governed by fear. And I'm so glad you guys come out. I really don't know how many. I thought I might have 10 people die. I didn't know. Like, we'll open the door. We'll see who comes. And I'm proud. And good to see you back, Carolyn. You've been out 3 weeks, and I'm so glad you are back. 3 weeks, comes back today. Hallelujah. So glad to see her. But he is our light, he is our salvation, and he is our strength. Yes, he is. We're going to skip down here in this chapter to verse 5. He says this, for in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now mine head shall be lifted above my enemies. Is that where I got that verse? Yes. be lifted above my enemies. The enemy, of course, we're facing now is this. And therefore will I offer in his tabernacle, which is what we're doing today, sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. And that's why we're here. You know, Kevin Smith back there says something really profound. Mom and Anna, y'all be proud of your prime timer guy. He come in, I said, Kevin, it's good to see you today. He goes, well, I said, I'm going to be here. Says, God ain't on vacation. Wasn't that good? God ain't on vacation. I'm like, you're exactly right. Hallelujah. Kevin's got more substance than I thought he did. Very good, Kevin. Oh, my goodness. He is still God, and this is the time to worship him no matter what. Anna had a really good message. I snuck in for primetimers, though I'm not 55, but I snuck in. Sorry, Bill. I had Village in that day. But I came for the message. As I'm back there, Anna did a message about joy, and it was really good. And she talked about joy is not emotion. Joy is a state of being. It's a big difference. We are very emotional people, right? We can be happy one day, sad the next, angry, don't understand you. People are just, guys and girls are emotional. And we live our lives sometimes based on emotion. And we're happy if something good's happened in our lives. Our job, our work day is good. Oh, I'm happy having a good day. Our work day is bad. I hate my job, right? You know, we're getting gas. Woo, gas $1.98. Fill her up. Gas $3. We're going nowhere. I mean, our emotions just are changed with what's happening around us. But joy is a state of being. And even today in this midst of this crisis, we can have joy knowing that it's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. It's the joy of the Lord that is my hope. It's the joy of the Lord that gives me peace. The joy of the Lord that keeps me and binds me against any plague. It's his joy. And so I choose to have the joy of the Lord no matter what anybody says. And the government can't make my joy go away. It can't take my joy away. Because the joy that God gave me, he gave me. And he says that what I give you, the world can't take away. So I choose to walk in the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and the power of God and the strength of God and the hope of God. Because he's still my God. So fear, faith over fear. All right, let's turn to Psalm 91. Most of us know this. It's a very familiar passage, Psalm 91. I'm going to read the first 7 verses and then a couple more after that. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, live, dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to picture God having a shadow over you everywhere you go. Wouldn't it be great, Tommy, in those cemeteries in July, everywhere you walked, have a big oak tree on top of you? Everywhere you walked, big oak tree. Everywhere you walk, big oak tree. Never got out of the shade. Oh, that's so nice. I want you to picture God's shadow on you everywhere that you go. You know what a shadow does? It covers you. It covers you. And everywhere you go, if you're going the right way at the sun, the shadow goes, right? And that's what God does. Everywhere you go, he goes. Dwell under the shadow, the covering of the Almighty. Trust who you belong to. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I'm not going to trust in what people tell me I have to trust in. I'm not going to trust in what I hear on the news. I'm going to trust God no matter what the news is. I'm going to trust God no matter what I hear or what I see. I'm going to trust God. Church, we don't know what's going to happen. The Methodist denomination, I've got some friends, and the UMC has canceled all services for the next 2 weeks in the whole organization. And we don't know what the next week or next 2 weeks or next month's going to hold. We don't know that. Ashley's prom already got canceled. That's in April. You know, we got things canceling out months in advance. I don't quite understand why we're doing that months in advance. But, you know, we don't know what's going to the Catholic Church. I read today about the Catholic Church, and I love how it worded it. I think it worded it that the Western North Carolina Catholic Church has given permission for people to stay home from Mass. Given permission. You know, y'all don't need no permission here. You come or you don't come. But I thought that was funny, Don. They've given permission to avoid Mass for the next few weeks. And Boy, don't you think the devil loves that? Can you imagine when the governor made that decree, the devil, yeah, cancel them churches, governor. Keep them out of church. Don't let them assemble and worship the Lord and come together by faith, trusting in him. So I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I do know who holds the future. And that's what counts. And that's what I trust. And so no matter what comes our way, and I know for some of you that, who are older than me, my parents' generation, and those of you that have seen your portfolio go down, and you're worried about if you're going to be able to buy any more Beanie Weenies next week, I get it. I know it's scary. I mean, I don't like seeing my portfolio go down. I'm in the middle. I'm not young, I ain't old. I'm in the middle. And I see it. And we've lost a bunch. But I trust God. My God shall supply all of my needs according to the Wall Street Journal. My God shall supply all of my needs according to how the Dow Jones and NASDAQ and S&P go tomorrow. My God shall supply all of my needs based on how Russia and whoever they're fighting now over the oil, how it goes. No. My God shall supply my needs according to his riches in glory. And they don't run out. They don't wear out. They are forevermore. And God is able to take care of his people in the midst of a famine. And God is able to restore that which was lost. And as fast as that thing went down, God can raise it back up. Because he is God. Trust in him no matter what you see. He's our fortress. He's our refuge. In him will I trust. Nick works at Food Line back there, and I'm sure he has seen quite a bit of panic, haven't you, Nick? Quite a bit of frustrated customers who are wiping out things as fast as they can. I've heard, talked to somebody that's a stalker at Food Line. They just are rolling stuff out and just leaving it. Just rolling out and cutting it open. Go for it. Just go for it. Not getting on the shelves. Just cutting it open, going for it. Don't let fear overtake your life. Man, if God can heal many of cancer, who else has got? If God can rescue Linda from death's door, I think God can make sure you got toilet paper. I really do. He's the God of TP. He's the God of you and me. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Sorry, I snorted. Brenda got me tickled. I don't ever snort. I heard Brenda laugh and it got me cracked up. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare. The word snare means trap. He shall deliver me from any trap of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Noisome means deadly. That word means deadly. God will deliver me from the deadly pestilence, whatever that is. David's confidence was in the Lord, right? He was in God, period. He was in who he served, not in what came his way. And David went through a lot. David endured a lot. David saw a lot of hardships, and David saw God over and over restore him, renew him, and help him. He had confidence in God. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. And look at this next part. This is important. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. His truth. Not the truth that you're hearing out there sometimes. His truth will protect us and keep us and anchor us. It's important we stay anchored. It's important God's people act like God's people right now and walk with patience and wisdom and faith. That we walk that way. I am God's child. He will provide for me. Since this very beginning, I've been talking to Melanie, and I know she made a comment on Facebook, says, I hope the cops don't come by and see you have a church. I'm like, Melanie, really? If a cop pulled in here and asked what he's doing, I say, we have a church. You want to join us? We'd love to have you. That's what I say. Sit down. I mean, my goodness, I would intentionally break anything, church. I really wouldn't. If they come down and legally made it illegal, I'm going to honor the best I can what the law says. But we're not breaking the law this morning. It's not a law breaking thing we're doing this morning. Yeah, I kind of thought they wouldn't. Yeah, that was a good bet, Melly. It would have been great. We'd have had to swim in the fellowship hall, and I would have could have preached right there in the middle, opened the doors up, and could have been both things. So y'all turn the seats around. And anyway, I done told Melly, if we break 100, I said this morning, which I knew we wouldn't, but if we break 100, I said, we can maybe take all the kids, anybody under 18, put them in a fellowship hall just today, and that way they're in two separate buildings. So I was thinking, your pastor was thinking, okay, I wasn't just being like, I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm wild Jesse James. That ain't me. It's not me at all. Thou shalt not be afraid, verse 5 says, for the terror by night or for the arrow that flieth by day. God can calm our fears. And what I'm frustrated about is there are so many people that are genuinely scared out of their minds. They're really scared. And they're scared. Some of them are scared, I think, a little bit beyond what they should be based on what's going on. And that's what makes me mad, that people are afraid. You know, my friend on Facebook last night put on about the governor's order of 100 people or more. And so I replied. I said, well, I'm at Walmart, and there's way more than 100 people here at Walmart right now. I'm just saying. And it doesn't apply right now to retail. I heard on the news last night. Remember that? The news says that the ban don't apply to restaurants, bars, or something else. And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to tell you something. If a bar can meet, Living Word's going to meet. That's all I'm saying. If they can drink and socialize, we go drink and socialize. We're going to be drunk on the Holy Spirit up in this place. Can I get a witness? I'm just saying. My gosh. Don't apply to Walmart or grocery stores or, you know, all this stuff, but, you know, applies to the one place that we need to be, I think, is together worshiping our Lord and trusting Him and praying for protection. So, faith over fear. Verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth at noonday. Don't be afraid of any of these things that attack us. Look at verse 7. 1,000 will fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Think about this. Not only the plague, but don't let the fear come nigh you. 10,000 over here out of their minds. You be the one that says, no, I refuse to let the fear of the enemy make me not function in life anymore. I'm not going to just bury myself like a hermit because somebody tells me I have to. I'm going to trust my God and live my life to the fullest that He has allowed me to live it. Other than, and I know that there are people that are sick, they don't need to be here, I get that. If someone's sick, they don't need to be here, regardless what they got. They don't need to be here if they're sick, I get that. But if you are healthy, we need to function every day normally. Normally. Publix grocery stores closing at 7 o'clock every night now. Walmart made an announcement, no more 24 hours, they're closing at 11 o'clock every night. And we're seeing more and more things is going to happen, and just ride out the storm. Just be patient and trust the Lord and realize, God, you've got this. We had the swine flu a few years ago. If you remember the swine flu coming around, we had Ebola a few years ago. We had a mad cow disease. None of y'all come in here mooing all crazy. Y'all survived. You made it. We're going to survive this, absolutely. So don't be afraid. Young people, don't be afraid. Don't let things scare you as kids and what you're hearing out there. Because I know that most voices you hear are voices of fear, not voices of faith. Trust the Lord. 10,000 fall by side, it shall not come nigh me. Verse 10 and 11. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. That's why we anointed these doors, just like the Bible talks about doing, and we seal that and I prayed over each entry point that God would put divine protection, that people that walked in this place would be safe. I encourage you to anoint your homes as well. Anoint where you live at. Anoint your car. Everywhere, you know, and pray for divine protection that God, you are bigger than this, and I'm giving it to you, and I'm trusting you above it all. I believe God is able to take care of us and protect us and keep us. We say prayers for travel mercies. We say prayers over our food. We say prayers at night. This is another giant that we say a prayer over. Because there's no giants in God's eyes bigger than another. We measure giants. God doesn't. You know, the world measures giants, but we don't. This is no different than anything else that comes against us. It's under God's control. Every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that he is Lord. He's Lord over everything, Lord over all things. He's not Lord over some things. He's not just Lord over things you can't explain away. He's Lord over all things. He's Lord over stage 4 cancer. He's Lord over AIDS. He's Lord over poverty. He's Lord over every sickness and disease. He's Lord over everything. And that's what I trust. And man, I'm glad I got him to trust. I'm glad I've got him to believe in. Ralph asked me when he came in, he goes, "Are you shaking hands?" I said, "I'm shaking hands." He said, "I'm shaking hands too." We shook hands. Hey, Ralph. Shook hands. So if you want to, if I'm not reaching out to y'all because I know some of y'all are funny about that, and that's fine. But if you want to shake my hand, the answer is yes, you can shake my hand. We got plenty of hot water and soap in this church. I can go wash my hands. We're fine. Okay? So I will shake hands and I will hug. And if you're pretty enough, I might kiss you. Just see if you're still listening. I will still be me. Okay? I will be me because I trust God. All right? And if I really trust God, then me shaking a hand or not shaking a hand ain't going to change the plan of God. Nope. I mean, don't think about that. Ain't going to change the plan of God. You know? If I gets it, I gets it, right? If I don't, I don't. I'm trusting God, I don't get it. But I'm just saying, I trust God. You going to shake my hand, Tommy? Thank you, brother. By the way, if you don't know these folks, these are great folks. This April is Brenda Cook's daughter. Oh, you asking for soap? You go get mugged. You better hide that stuff. Security, walk her out. Oh, my gosh. Let's trust the Lord to live our lives the way we've always lived them, believing in him. Verse 11, we'll close out with this last verse. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Man, God's got angels he's assigned to you. You walk with Gordon. You walk with Stacy. You walk with Paula. But I got all my people protected with my angels that everywhere you go, they are with you. And I've given them orders to watch over you and protect you no matter where you go. Think about that. We did a whole angel series on Wednesday night a while back. Did a whole angel series for weeks. Are angels real? Of course they are. The Bible speaks many times of angels and their purpose and how they are there to serve God and to help serve us and to watch over us and to keep us and to be there for us and to guide us. Absolutely, they are real. And angels aren't human beings. They're a separate creation. You know, when Don goes on to see Jesus, hope he goes that way. If Don goes to see Jesus, he's not going to be an angel. He's God's creation. It's going to be a son of God. A son of God. And angels are a whole different creation of God. It mentions it many times in the Bible. They're a separate creation of God. We are the children of God. And yes, there are angels that God created for a purpose. And he says here, there's angels that's going to be watching over you everywhere you go. So trust that. And get in the habit when you leave today and you get all nervous at Walmart and you start getting that bug going down the aisle, you ought to say this. Come on, angels. Are you back here? Okay, just checking. Come on, angels. Remind yourself, man. And do it when there's people around. Hey, angels, y'all with me? Okay, do what? Don't forget the toilet tissue. Okay, angel, thank you. Do it when people are around. Oh, yeah. I promise you, you will not get coronas because they'll be 10 miles away. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. It is time that this is the time that we should trust the Lord more than ever. And I'm really thankful for our older folks, no offense, our older folks, not old, not used up, not decrepit, older, that came out today because I really didn't know if we'd have any baby boomer generation people here. And y'all are, so thank you for being here. I appreciate that. Because as Kevin said, God ain't on vacation. So you know what? I'm going to be here to be a part of church. And I'm thankful that we have a God we can trust. Where's Jewel at, Chuck? See if Randy can take over. I'd like you to come up here and do a song for us, closing. As far as everything goes now, we will, of course, be here Wednesday night as well for service as normal. So if you can be here Wednesday, we'd love to have you. And, trust the Lord through this and keep your prayer life very alive. And just, God, yes. I trust you to watch me, my family, the ones I love. I trust you to watch over us. And he will. These are words, I hope, of encouragement from the Psalms this morning about not being afraid and trusting the Lord. And that no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. And I truly believe that and I trust that. And I've had complete... Church, it was never a question for me. And maybe if we was running 200 people, I would have had more of a question. Maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. But it was never a question for me to have church today. Tommy texted me last night. He said, "You having church tomorrow?" I said, "Yes, sir. Church as usual." So it was never hesitation for me because this is the time that we do trust God. I mean, how does it look that we avoid this? This is who we are. Christians coming together to trust and serve the Lord. The kids aren't by themselves, right? Did you? We got security out there, right? Okay. Who's doing security this morning? Gail? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Dad. Dad's like, we got to lose kids. I mean, he needs some backup. You got anything on your heart you can sing this morning? It's okay. You're not pretty enough, Chuck.
I will rest in you.
For his next song. Let's pray before we receive our offering. Father, we just ask you for a continued peace in our lives, that we can rest in you, that we can trust you, God, no matter what comes our way. I pray against the power of fear trying to overtake us, to cancel out whom we believe in. God, let us see your face. Let us trust in your word. Let us hear your voice in these troubling times that will bring rest to our soul. Once again, God, we do pray for our nation and all those that are affected. We pray for recovery. We pray, God, for healing. We pray, God, the plague stays away from this nation and the masses, and that, God, we begin to see an immediate turnaround, that all of a sudden the reports are different than they were before. We pray you turn the tide, God, to where they'll have to announce all is well, we are in the clear, all is good, and you, God, will get the glory for all of that. We thank you, God, for your word that will never fail, and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.